And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you, all the musicians, for the lovely music. Thank you, Louisa, for your gift of love in the form of a gingerbread man. Thank you, congregation, for being here this morning. On this second Sunday in Advent, I invite us to hear Matthew's gospel and the story of Joseph and how Joseph encountered the news that he was going to be the father to Jesus. Will you turn with me, if you wish, to the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter. I'll begin at verse 18. Will you hear now God's word? Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and the angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son and named him Jesus. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. When I served the church in Shelby, it was located out on Highway 74. And so it was just right off of 74. And so from time to time, just like we have here at this church, we have visitors, neighbors in the community, people passing by, people who are needing some sort of assistance stop by the church. Well, we had a repeat visitor stop by the church from time to time, and his name was Carl. So I got to know Carl over the time that I was serving at Aldersgate. And Carl would always show up in what seemed to me the most inopportune times. Sometime when I had a list of things to do, or I was rushing out the door to head to the hospital, or something else, some sort of church emergency was going on, and there was Carl. Carl spoke with a little bit of a lisp, and one of the things that he wasn't able to say was he could not pronounce his S's. And so when you first would see Carl, he would greet you, and then he would tell you what he needed. And he needed a ride to Pendel. Carl would need a ride to Spindel. From Shelby to Spindel, about 12 to 15 miles, Carl would needed a ride there. "Well, Carl, how did you get here?" And there was always some elaborate story about how Carl had ended up in Shelby right there on the side of 74, right in front of Aldersgate, and he just needed a ride a little bit further down the road to Spindel, where his family lived. Well, over the years, we all began to love Carl, and even though Carl would stop by at the most inopportune times, we would find a way not simply to dismiss Carl, but to get Carl a ride from Shelby to Pendel so that Carl could meet up with his family. The word dismiss means to allow to leave or to send away. We did not dismiss Carl. Joseph, though, was placed in a similar situation. Here, Carl shows up at the most inopportune time, and we're posed with the decision, what are we going to do? Joseph, at the most inopportune time in Joseph's life, when he is engaged to this woman that he deeply loves and desires to be in a life-giving relationship with, comes and tells him that she is expecting a child. Well, in the Gospel of Matthew, we don't hear anything about the conversation between Mary and Joseph when Mary declares to him that she's going to have a child. So let's stop for just a moment and think about Joseph. Joseph, a central character in the New Testament, a central character to what we call the Christmas story, the birth of Christ, is someone who never speaks a word in Scripture. We never hear anything from Joseph. We only hear things about Joseph. And this particular story that we read this morning is when Joseph has just found out that the woman that he deeply loves and is engaged to is going to be married. I mean, is going to have a baby. They've not gotten married yet. And Joseph knows that something bad is going to happen. But Scripture describes Joseph as a righteous man. We know from other places that Joseph is a carpenter. So Joseph did work with his hands. The word actually there is tekton, which is where we get our word architect from. So Joseph was a tekton. He was able to do things with his hand. He was an architect of sort. But you might know that many homes in that time period were built of stone. So the architects, the tektons, the carpenters, the Josephs in the world were called upon to construct the door frames and the window frames of the houses. So Joseph was highly respected in his community, in his little town of Bethlehem. That little town of Bethlehem that we sing about that only had 500 to 1,000 people who inhabited it, but it was quite close to Jerusalem. A 6-hour walk, but only 6 miles perhaps, or 7 miles between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And so Joseph was so respected because the work that he did with his hands in that little town of Bethlehem were easily sent off to the bigger and more prestigious city of Jerusalem. So here is Joseph, this righteous man, this tekton, this carpenter who loves Mary. And Mary has told him that he is going to be the father, and she is expecting a child. Well, something doesn't quite add up for Joseph, because he knows they've not yet been married, and they've not yet had marital relations, and so perhaps something has gone awry. Something has happened in what they thought was a faithful relationship. Perhaps Mary has somehow been unfaithful to him. And she has gone and had an additional relationship, and now she's expecting this child, and it cannot and does not belong to him. Someone who was pregnant out of marriage at that time was subject to being stoned to death. And so Joseph, being the righteous man that he is, wonders what in the world is he going to do to solve this predicament that he's in. He loves Mary. He cares for Mary. And he knows that she's going to be stoned to death because clearly this is not his child. And so if he comes forward and declares this is not his child, then something's going to happen to Mary. And so Joseph decides that he'll just dismiss her quietly. He'll just quietly dismiss Mary. And that when he quietly dismisses Mary, he'd have to let the priest of the community know that he was no longer going to be engaged and no longer planning to get married to Mary. And so then months would pass and Mary's stomach would begin to grow. And then the disgrace would be on Joseph. Because Joseph had dismissed her, had let her go in the middle of her pregnancy. Do you see what was happening? And so Joseph decides to just dismiss her quietly so that she won't be stoned to death, but so that he will be the one that everybody points their fingers at and says, oh, you're the one. You're the one who left your girlfriend in the midst of a situation where she was pregnant. And then we have a decisive twist in our story. And our story, we have the decisive twist, and it begins with this really large word, but. But, says the scripture, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the middle of a dream, and the angel of the Lord declared to Joseph, Joseph, this child that Mary is carrying has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is going to be the Son of God. This is going to be the son that has been prophesied about. This is going to be the son that's going to be born and named Jesus. Emmanuel. God with us. And so Joseph wakes from his sleep and he continues on pressing forward in his relationship with Mary. But there was a decisive twist. Joseph had this choice to make. The woman that he loved is pregnant with a child that's not his. So he's just going to quietly dismiss her. But God became involved in Joseph's life. And God encountered Joseph in the form of a dream, in the form of the voice of an angel that said, "Do not be afraid, Joseph. This child is from the Holy Spirit. Fear not, Joseph. Have courage. Everything's going to be okay." I wonder, friends, I wonder when we've been at that moment like Joseph. We've been quietly ready to dismiss someone or something, and God somehow gets involved in our life and nudges us at the deepest core of who we are and doesn't let us yet push that person or that thing away. But God intervenes in our life and says, "Fear not, my precious child. I am with you. Everything's going to be okay." There's a second definition for the word dismiss. The word dismiss that I defined as allowing to leave or sending away. Another definition for the word dismiss is to treat as unworthy of serious consideration. Dismiss is to treat as unworthy of serious consideration. When have we treated another human being as unworthy of serious consideration? When have we been ready to dismiss them off to the sidelines of life? When have we turned our back and looked in the other direction? Joseph heard the words of the angel, and Joseph allowed love to grow in his heart. When have we found someone to dismiss and not heard the voice of God allowing love to grow in our hearts? Thomas Merton, a famous theologian, says this: Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether they are worthy or not. Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether they are worthy or not. Our job, brothers and sisters, is simply to love. So when have we been in the situation that we wanted to dismiss someone? And yet, perhaps we listened to the voice of God that said, "They are my beloved child. They are cared for beyond imagination. And you are called to love them as well." The homeless beggar on the street. The elderly person who has no one to care for them. The addict who returns home at the point of desperation. The person who lied about us, betrayed us, and hurt us. The child who's disappointed us by his or her actions. And we quietly wanted to dismiss them. And then God spoke to our hearts. And love began to grow. Love that didn't allow us to dismiss them, but allowed us to outstretch our arms and embrace them. Friends, this year at Myers Memorial, we've talked about hospitality. Hospitality that loves the least and the last and the lost. Hospitality that loves the lovable and the unlovable. Hospitality that looks and loves those who look like us and those who look radically different than us. Hospitality that says it doesn't matter who you are God's child. And my love for you will grow because God has called me to love as God in Christ has loved me. So sisters and brothers, our job in the midst of this Advent season is to not dismiss quietly those that it would be easier to just turn our backs against, but rather to embrace them, to welcome them, to love them with open arms. Because just as Joseph heard the words from the angel, this baby is going to be born Emmanuel, which means God with us. You and I carry that message that God is with us no matter where we go or who we are. You and I are called to be the visual representation of God's love for this world that goes to people in their darkest hours and in their deepest trouble and say, "Fear not. You have not been left alone. God is with you." We love because God first loved us. At Aldersgate, we had an 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service. Remember how I said Carl showed up at the most inopportune times? There it was as the bells chimed midnight. Tired and weary, the preacher's ready to head home. There's Carl, standing at the door. He said, "Don't worry, I don't need a ride to Pendle. I wanted to come say Merry Christmas." May we not dismiss those who God places in our paths. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.